Father, we're so thankful, Lord, you've given us another week, another few days, Lord, with the privilege, Lord, to walk in your grace, to walk in the light of the day, Lord, to have our footsteps laid out before us, Lord, us following yours. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. So thankful for all you've done for us. And we pray, Lord, you'll bless us tonight around the table. Lord, because only you can do that. None of us can bless one another unless we're surrendered to you, Lord. So let it be that way tonight. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So the last time we talked about well, we was on the subject of brooding over the spoken word original seed, but we took those two covenants and we took Adam's covenant specifically, and the one that Brother Branham said that God gave man first was the one he gave Adam. And we looked at what all went on under that when it had happened. And I don't know if I actually said it, but I think you would realize that even though it looked like things went wrong, that was exactly the way God planned for it to go. Amen. He knew that it would be slightly doubted. He knew Eve would slightly doubt it. Just one word, and would throw it into chaos like that. And we're going to read how that, even though that it started that way, that God brought it to perfection. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight in Perfected in Threes. And so it's kind of a, like they say about peeling an onion, you know, you peel the onion and then you peel it, there's another peeling under it. And so the threes, Perfected in Threes, is just layers and layers of that. And so let's look at how Brother Brown taught us those things. So we're going to start off, and seed is not air with the shuck. That's an odd title anyways, to think about it. You know, you're talking about air. You're talking about inheriting something, and you're comparing it to a weed and a seed. And it's kind of an odd subject, but Brother Ram talks about that here right off the bat. The Lord, now he just read a scripture, and you can go read that. The Lord and add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, I believe here that I can take a text like this, very odd, unusual. But sometimes we find God in those odd, unusual hours, unusual ways, unusual things, because God is unusual. And I think one of the most unusual things in this day is the revelation that the new birth without sensation was amazing, that you could, that it could happen like that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But the fact that God doesn't need what the world calls great for something great, really, truly great, to happen. Amen. And so Brother Ram's talking about this odd condition here. He said, unusual ways, unusual things, because God is unusual. And those that really serve him from their heart, those that are really serving him from their heart, serve him in an unusual way. Why? That's because he's doing it. He's in there living. Remember, Brother Bram said it wasn't the eternal Son, it was eternal God expressed the Son. That we have to keep thinking about that, because that puts us in our place, what we are. We're God expressing himself. And you just keep dwelling on that. Brother Bram said that the way that the word comes to pass is that you take it into your heart and you just hold it. You just hold it and God will bring it to pass. It has to happen. And so that's part of it. And it's a glorious part of it. Serve him in an unusual way to the things of the, or the ways of the world. So when he does things, they're completely opposite the way the world thinks they're going to do it. This text is called, the seed is not air with the shuck. And Paul here is speaking of the literal seed of Abraham's two sons. Remember Hagar and Ishmael? I mean, Hagar. Hagar was the wife. The son was Ishmael. And then there was Isaac. So Ishmael and then Isaac. Paul here is speaking of the literal seed of Abraham's two sons. Paul gladly is bringing himself into the position of birth by the free woman. So the first woman, Hagar, was a bondwoman. And Brother Bram said, that came because Sarah slightly doubted. Think about it. This is the first of the three sons. There's Ishmael, and then there's Isaac, and then there's the true seed, the true son, Jesus Christ. But it started, Brother Rams, we're going to read it here in a minute, but it started by Sarah slightly doubting that, like what happened there in the garden. It slightly doubted. All right. And, you know, I didn't read it last week, but Brother Branham said, yeah, I did too. Brother Branham said that when he gave that covenant to Abraham, I mean to Adam back there, and Adam broke the covenant, he said that he gave Noah a covenant, and Noah broke it. But then when God said, I am, see, I will, I am, I have already done it. That was the perfection, see. That's the way, that was, Brother Bram said, that was the unconditional, so it was the eternal covenant. But him bringing that covenant started in slightly doubting. But in the third, it was perfect. So we're talking about those layers of the threes now. Paul gladly in bringing himself into position of the birth by the free woman. So Paul's saying it came by Isaac, or through the Isaac line. Now, we know that Abraham had two sons by two different women, and God gave him a promise by Sarah, through Sarah, rather, that there would be a son born. So the promise that he gave Abraham was not Hagar. That's where the slightly doubted part comes in. Through Sarah, rather, that there would be a son born, and through this son, the world would be blessed. And see, a lot of people, he says, all nations would be blessed of this son. And it's commonly believed, especially amongst the Jews, that this was Isaac. But it wasn't. Isn't that something? But it wasn't. It wasn't that one. Even though that's the one promise he gave him, that's not the real promise he gave him. That this was Isaac, but it wasn't. This promised son of Abraham is Jesus. And you remember now, when that son, but these first two sons come, both of them are by sex. One slightly doubted in sex. One, the promise for the free woman was sex. And then Jesus without it, altogether, completely God doing it. See? And that's why he's called the royal seed, promise of Abraham. See, that's what God was, when he gave him that promise, that's where he was headed with that. But Abraham, having two sons, one by Hagar, which was his wife's maid, a lovely, pretty Egyptian maid that Abraham had picked up down in Egypt for her to be his wife's maid. And Sarah, thinking that God would not be able to keep all his promise true, see, this is the slightly doubting part, she told Abraham to take Hagar, her maid, and to marry her, which polygamy was legal in those days, and to bring the child. And that's the way God had it planned. That was, he's telling you that's her idea. That she was to have the child only through Hagar. But we find out that that wasn't so. Now we understand also that God is perfected in threes. Now God is perfected in three. Grace is five, and seven is completion, like the world, in 7 days. God is perfected in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's perfected in that. That's the perfection of the Godhead. All one God in three manifestations, three attributes of one office, or three offices in the one Godhead. So God's all of those offices. Brother Bram said there was a time, though, when he wasn't any of those. He wasn't a father because there wasn't a son. Wasn't a son because he hadn't expressed himself as a son. It wasn't any of those things. He said, before all things. Now, there's also three imperfection of the steps of grace to the church. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you understand, listen to what he just said there. Three steps of grace to the church. There's three steps to perfection. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That consists of the new birth. Just like a natural birth, you got to have all those before you have a new birth, he says. Just like a natural birth is typed by it, which a woman giving birth to a child, the first thing comes forth is water, then blood, and then life. And the Bible said in 1 John 5:7, I believe it is, it said that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which was the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one. There's are three that bear witness in heaven, in the earth, the Word, the water, blood, and spirit. Water, blood, and spirit. There are three agree in one. These three, they agree. They're not, he didn't say they were one. They agree in one. Now, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one. You can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. See, God's not perfect unless you got all three of those. But you can be justified. Now, he's telling you about the ones in the earth. See? But you can be justified without being sanctified. And you can be sanctified without being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we found out that you could actually have the Holy Ghost and not have it right. Remember in Anointed Ones at the End Time. We have proved that in the order of nature. Now, and many of you maybe, I may be strange to you. I'm without education. I'm sure you already understand, but I teach in types, as the natural types the spiritual. And I'm telling you what, brother and sister, when you read this message and you see those types he pulls out, and you know, you think, that's so simple, but you go back and think of what it was like before that type was pulled out, before he brought it to us. And if you take those types and you take one a little too far, you're off. He knew right where to stop with the type. He knew right where to start with the type. They can say all they want to about him, but he knew that was God Almighty speaking. Amen. Through that man. Now, we see that there are three in the perfection. God is perfected in threes now. And that was in the perfection of the seed of Abraham. So he's saying the same thing goes on with the seed of Abraham, which we were just talking about. So here they are. Was Ishmael, Isaac, and Jesus. Ishmael coming from the bondswoman. Isaac coming from the free woman. Both of them by sex. Oh, he said it. But Jesus Christ coming from the virgin. No sex. Amen. See the perfection? Here, the seed. See, that's where he was going when he started. Coming by no sex. Here, the seed. One seed. Not seeds. And see, as a lot of people gets that wrong. They think they have their own individual seed. When Brother Bram said, we'll just let him read it. We're of the seed, the one seed. Remember we talked about Logos the last time? The Logos comes out of God. And what did he say? It was a feminine part of that Logos. And here, and he also said that the Logos became Jesus Christ. Became Elohim, became Jesus. It just came moving on down. Here, the seed, one seed, not seeds. But one seed. These others were not seed of Abraham, because Abraham's seed was his faith seed. See, the faith seed is one. You see how they're capitalizing it with a capital S. That God was speaking of, not his natural seed. Because after Sarah died, he married another woman and had 7 sons besides daughters. So it wouldn't be Abraham's seeds, not the flesh seeds. It was Abraham's seed, one. And that was Abraham's faith seed. And who gave Abraham that faith seed? God gave it to him. Pointing to the royal seed. Pointing to the royal seed, which we just said was Jesus, that was to come through Abraham's faith. Not Abraham's natural life, but Abraham's spiritual life. See, that son came because he believed what God told him. Who took everything contrary to God's word and called it as though it was not, and believed God. Against hope, believed in hope. That's the real seed that we're speaking of. Even Brother Branham, if you read in the scripture, you'll see that whenever Sarah had her idea and told him to take Hagar, he said no. And God had to come tell him to go ahead and listen to your wife. Because that type had to be in the Bible of that slightly doubted God writing his Bible. Here we are presented with a picture. Oh, the seed started, the seed of promise started in a slightly doubt of the original promise. That's how it started. Remember, I was just talking about that a while ago. See how it starts low in doubt in the original promise. This is the unfolding of the true seed, starts like that. God promised Abraham through Sarah to have this child. But now watch, the first seed of Abraham by the bondswoman come by Sarah doubting what this could happen, that this could happen, because she was old and past the age of bearing. Now, that's how the church starts. That's how it always starts. You start from the bottom. You don't start from the top. A man trying to climb a ladder tries to get on the top first, he'll break his neck. You've got to start and build up to that. Well, we don't know, don't we know that? As young Christians trying to get ahead of God, you know, we learn to start and build up to that. And here we find the beginning of the promise of God being made manifest. The beginning of the promise of God was being made manifest there. God was using that doubt even to still bring it. He didn't use her son to bring it, but he used it to show the type in the perfection. And here we find the beginning of the promise of God being made manifest through a slightly doubted interpreted program of God. You know, if the prophet didn't say that, I wouldn't believe it, because that would be really hard to see. That's the same way sin began in the Garden of Eden. So he's taking it. See, he's taking that type back. It started back there, slightly doubted. The same. See, the perfecting in threes. That's how death started by sin, was when one word of God was misconstrued or doubted. See, now that was the beginning of that seed being made manifest. Adam was not the interpreted seed yet. God had started, he put the seed out there, and he was brooding that seed into being. And Brother Branham, what was the seed? There was one seed, remember? The Logos was both male and female. And Brother Branham said he thought of himself as a man, and it translated himself down to be Jesus Christ. So the one seed was Christ, and we're predestinated in him. Remember we read a quote where Brother Ram said we went to the cross in him. We died in him. We suffered with him. We rose with him. See? So that was the seed. That was our perfection. We were perfected there. See? Even though we still had to be born into this life and go through trials and go through these different things, Brother Bram said that perfects your character. But who keeps you through those trials? Who keeps us through those trials? God in us. And we're building the character. He said the same thing about Jesus. That's how death started by sin, was when one word of God was misconstrued or doubted. You don't doubt. You can't doubt or misplace one word of God. That's thus saith the Lord, because it's every word to be so. Now, he's referring to the scripture that says we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right, so we're going to go into the Church Ages book for a few minutes. But to go on, these elect are not only the eternal thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season, but these same elect are to be called by another name. Now he's talking about us and how that we come into, we're born into this world. And we look like we're dogs. We look like we're part of the world. And here, we'll read this in just a few minutes. But Brother Ram said we were never dogs, because in God's mind, we were never that. Amen. We're just passing through this shuck of a life to come into that. See? And so let's let him talk about it. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is our faith, that it might be by grace. You catch that? It's by faith that we're saved. And it's by faith so that it can might be by grace. We got faith by grace of God. See? To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's what it, the promise. The one promise of being with Christ. Remember we read that about the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ, that oneness. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Remember what that brought, the royal seed. Who is the faith? Who is the father of us all? See that? Who gave Abraham that faith? Who's the father of us all? Wasn't Abraham. Amen. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac, thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. And at this time, well, I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. So he's going to the children. He's pointing out the two flesh children to show you that that's not the faith seed. See, both these children came from Isaac, Jacob and Esau. For the children, having not yet been born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. It was said unto Rachel. Was it Rachel? Did Eliezer go get Rachel? Or no, he went and got... what was her name? Rebecca. I'm sorry. Rebecca, that's right. The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. See? He said it was to Abraham and his seed, singular, that the promise was made. And it wasn't to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. See, that's who the promise was made to, not to all the fleshly seed. Although some of them may be in Christ. It's trying to make the point clear. And that's Paul clearing up things for us in Galatians and Brother Branham pulling them out. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? If you be Christ, if you be anointed by that same Spirit, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. See, he keeps holding that, making sure there's no seeds. It's not a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual thing. The one seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation because he said, Abraham, who is the father of us all. And he's talking to the Gentiles too. See, they wouldn't be the seed of Abraham. Not fleshly, you know what I'm saying. Then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it. For Galatians 3, he identified the seed, singular, with Jesus and counted the seed, children, as children of promise, and promise as having to do with election or the choosing of God. And we were chosen in that seed. And what does he say? We were predestinated in Christ. And that is exactly what we have been saying. These who are of the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated, foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts. In very plain English, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. Amen. That's the truth. Though not expressed until each came forth in the designated, decreed season. Now, when I thought about that, I really had a hard time understanding that. Because you think about it. When Jacob come along, remember all the times Brother Branham talked about him being a shyster and all the things he'd done? Yet that was still, the seed of God was still in Jacob. It wasn't going anywhere. Because it was there by predestination, not by works, by anything. It was by predestination. It was going to happen. And so it was hard to see that sons were coming all the time. And in some respect, in some way, they were recognizing that they were sons. It took a while. You know, Jacob wrestled all night till he realized who he was. And the different ones down through there, you don't know the back life of Abraham, but the different ones, they all recognized in some way who they were. And it got greater and greater. Brother Branham said, remember we talked about in Christ the mystery of God revealed, that he had that one goal in his mind back there. That one goal was just to express himself. And so he said he let that secret out a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. As each one of these are recognizing them that they're sons. In some small way, they recognize their son. Think about Job. All that Job went through. But in the end, he realized that again in his flesh, he will see. See, it just a little bit at a time. And then when Christ come on the scene, they realized in a much, much greater way that they were sons. See, but we still didn't know that we were sinless. We know nothing about that part of it. See, he hinted at it when he done that with Abraham and said, "Hey, nothing to do with you, Abraham. I've already done it." See, he hinted at it. That's the first hint. You know, and even then that was sealed up in the Bible for all these years until the prophet come along and pointed it out. And so he let it out a little bit more and a little bit more until in the last day, the covers took off and we could hear messages like Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and Brother Branham telling us what was going on. And it just kept unfolding and unfolding. And so he's talking about these sons coming in every age, even though Brother Branham said that Satan had messed up God's way. He messed up. He got them having sex and having children through sex. And so they were coming, you know, and they were coming not knowing who they were, not knowing that they were sons. All right. Until each came forth in the designated decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus the bride, this bride, is the literal spoken word seed bride. She's the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she be feminine in designation, she's also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him. Remember the female and the male logos. Came from the same source, came out of God, was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas once God was manifested in one member. How many? One. Jesus Christ. One. They were manifested in part in the other ages. But Brother Brown said he went down and he showed how each one did something they wasn't supposed to do. Even Joseph, he said. At one time he thought Joseph didn't have anything on him, but then the Lord showed him something that Joseph done. Once God was manifested in one person, even our Lord Jesus Christ, but now in a many-member body. Now then, here we are coming to a conclusion. And as the eternal Logos God was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifested in flesh. The eternal one was who? The Father manifested in flesh, and thereby gaining the title of Son. Remember, we were talking about Eston being Michael's son here the other night and how it was different. This is God expressing himself as a son. Thereby gained the title of son. Even so we're going to do this same thing. As God expresses us, gaining the title of son and daughter. Eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, become the many-membered spoken word seed, manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts, now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God, even as we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We was already in the seed. We were seed and therefore reborn. See how he said each son come and daughter came in those ages. And therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. Hold this carefully. And what was he quickening? He wasn't quickening your individual seed. He was quickening you in Christ. There's one seed. Remember, there's just one. Hold this carefully in mind. Now take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner, God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, the word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. You see that? That is impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind. And there is no change in the species. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh. Excuse me. There had to come a day when we would hear his voice. And in some way, all through those, even the Old Testament and the New Testament, through the church ages, that those children that were of the seed heard his voice in some way. In Luther's day, it was justification. In Wesley's day, it was sanctification. But they heard his voice. You remember way back when we was doing the oneness studies, and we talked about how that when time started, that God drove down a stake there, and all through eternity, all through time, there is this thin red line of grace, that scarlet line that stretched all the way to when the timeless, I can't think of the name of that. But, well, I'll get the quote and read it for you next time. But at the very end, Brother Bram said, God gets it and pulls that back up and pulls us back out of time, back up into eternity. Because each one was always a son. There had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice become aware of our Father calling us. And what was that voice? Is the living word of God is what does it. Become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard his voice and we cried out, as did the prodigal son, save me. Oh, my Father, I'm returning to thee. And we heard Brother Brown give that same testimony in his life. A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched out under a hen. You know that the eagle is a type of the true believer. Well, a farmer took an egg from an eagle's nest and he placed it under a hen. And in due time, all the eggs under the hen hatched out. And the baby chicks got along fine with their mother hen, but that little eagle could not figure out the clucking and the scratching for food in the manure power, in the manure pile. You think about that. That everybody around him, that's what they was doing. And for some reason, he didn't enjoy it like they did. Mm-hmm. Something was nagging at him all the time. Remember what Brother Brown said? You staggered out of one church and staggered in another one. These different things you did that were so odd, he said. He managed to make a living, but he was pretty confused about it all. But one day, from way up in the air, the mother eagle that had laid the egg spied that little eagle on the ground. Or he sent his son by to speak to her at the well. Or, you know, 10,000 other scenarios that took place. She swooped down with tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up to meet her. He had never heard an eagle cry. Never heard it. He'd have been amongst everything that wasn't that. Didn't know what an eagle cry was. Even though he was an eagle, he didn't know what it was at all. He never heard an eagle cry. But when he heard that first scream, something in him stirred and he longed to launch out towards it. He didn't understand what was going on in him. He didn't understand it. But he was afraid to try. Again, that mother screamed for him to arise in the wind and follow her. You notice, as he's talking about these screams, what these screams are doing to this bird. This bird never heard anything like this before. But these screams are changing this bird. Brother, you let that word, Brother Bram said, you let the word tell you that you're wrong. You let the word tell you that you're scripturally wrong. You see what happens. It'll make you want to jump into his arms. For him to arise in the wind and follow her. And he screamed back that he was afraid. He's screaming back at this bird he's never heard in his life. But now he's talking back to it. Once more, she called out, screaming, that he try, beating his wings. He hurled himself into the air. She told him to try. And these wings that he never knew what they were for, he'd never seen anybody else use them, he started using them. And answering the cry of his mother, he soared off into the blue skies. You see, he always was an eagle. He acted like a chicken for a little while, but he could not be satisfied. And if you're a son or daughter of God, you'll never be satisfied in this world. But when he heard the call of the great eagle, he came to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word, he too will realize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle and be with him forever seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that took place over a few minutes there to tell that story. And I don't know, you know, if it happened in real life, it might take 20 or 30 minutes for that to take place. And it might happen in your life and it might take a while. Who knows? Brother Bram said he had to prepare the ground and get it ready. And we're going to read about that and then we'll close for tonight. This story I ran across here, and I'd shared it with Katrina, and Brother Branham had kind of told it in pieces and parts, but this is, I found where he had told the whole thing here. So let's look at this. A young man came to me, to my house not long ago, and sat on the porch. I felt sorry for him. An old beat up Chevrolet truck. And he said, Brother Branham, I want to talk to you. I said, all right, what is it? He said, I come from Minneapolis. He said, and my wife went down to the church, to the Pentecostal people, and she got the Spirit. Now, I'll just say it the way he said it. Said, she got the Spirit. Said, we did go once in a while to the Presbyterian church. And he said, she got the Spirit, and she was very happy. And she come home and told me all about it and wanted me to go down and get it. And I said, now, hun, look, honey. You go wherever you want to. I'll work and make the living, but I'm not the religious type. He said, you go anywhere you want to. That'll be all right. Some reason it didn't move him. Her testimony didn't move him then. She said, well, you ought to come down and get happy with us. Said, we have the greatest time. And said, she really was a changed person. And said, Brother Ram said, that went on for about 2 years. And we quit playing cards. She was sanctifying him, and he didn't even know it. There's a scripture about something like that. She said, we quit playing cards. I didn't go out to the parties with her like I used to. Said, everything stopped. I'd just come home, she'd go to church, I'd sit around and read a library book or go down to the lodge or something. He had no urge to go down there with her. 2 years this went on. And he said, one day I'd made a sale in a car lot and I come in and I put my coat on, said it was summertime, said I put my coat on to go out because some ladies out there. And said, on the road back, said, I hung up my coat. And when I did, I said, I wonder if I gave them the keys. And I reached down in the pocket and I pulled out a little piece of paper. And it had wrote on it, where will you spend eternity? His wife had been a testimony to him for 2 years. But something's getting ready to happen. Where will you spend eternity? He said, I just laid it down, turned the fans on. And I said, I picked it up again. I couldn't get away from it. Where will you spend eternity? And said, I'm 40 years old. I got to settle that thing. Said, that's right. Said, I just had to turn the work over to someone else. And I went home to see God. All of a sudden, he went from 0 to 60, as they say. He went from not doing nothing to all out. Now, something changed. I just had to turn the work over to someone else, and I went home to see God. And I went to a famous minister, Well, it's Mr. Graham is who it was, Billy Graham. And I said, I went to his meeting and he said, all that wants to receive Christ, stand up. Well, I said, that I did. And he said, accept Christ now as your personal savior and it'll be settled. And I said, I talked to some of the men there who told me that's what I had to do. Well, I said, I did the best I could, but said Brother Branham, it wasn't settled. Said, I met up with some Nazarene people and said, they taken me back in a room and told me, unless I got happy enough to shout, that I wasn't sanctified yet. And I said, I stayed in there and all of us prayed together until it sounded like one person praying. And I said, I did get happy and shouted. And they said, they told me, it's all over now. And I said, I thought it was. And then I went out and still it wasn't all over. Said, I sold all my cars. Went 0 to 60 to 100 now. He sold his business. I was worth nearly $500,000. I sold my car lot, all my cars. Said the only thing is got is just old beat up car, trying to give it to preachers and so forth, where I can find peace to my soul. He said, I want to find the Lord. And he said, when I finally run into the Pentecostal people, they told me that, asked me if I'd ever spoke in tongues, and I told them no. And they said, well, you haven't got it until you speak with tongues. Said they, taking me back and prayed pretty near half the night in a little tent out behind the big tent. Don't say they're not sincere. They're sincerely wrong, but they're sincere. And said, then I spoke in tongues, and they said, now you've got it. But said, Brother Branham, I didn't have it. And I said, when I went down to Shreveport or to Dallas, to the Voice of Healing. See, now this man, if he's a seed of God, he's already a son. He just don't know it. When I went down to Shreveport or to Dallas, to the Voice of Healing, said they had all their boys up there. And said they tried to do me good and they couldn't. And said when they told me you was a prophet to come see you and you'd tell me surely that I had crossed the separating line and there was no hope for me. So he's going from bad to worse information. And there was no hope for me if I had done all this and still didn't have it. And I said, well, this is Brother Randall talking. Brother, I want to tell you something. I said, I'm not a prophet. It's, you know, that's what people say. But I said, I'm just his servant. But now you don't need a prophet to straighten you out. You just need the word of God. And he said, now, Mr. Graham told you is the truth. And what the Nazarene people told you is the truth. And what the Pentecostal people told you is the truth. And yet it's not the truth. Isn't that something? It's truth, but it's not the truth. To shout, to raise your hands, to speak with tongues is not receiving Christ. Receiving Christ is receiving the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then these other things take place after that, see? You could do all and still didn't have Christ yet. He said, well, Brother Branham, where can I find him? The eagle about to scream. Find out he done heard the eagle and he didn't realize it. But now the eagle's telling him to jump. I said, I want to ask you something. Let's go back to your story. And he walked up and he said, well, what do you mean? I said, you said the other day when you come in and picked up that piece of paper, something struck you. And you said, oh, I want to see God. And I said, from up to that time, you were going this way down the road. And then you turned this way. What did it? While he was putting his hand in the jacket and pulled a piece of paper out to look at it, God happened. Think about that. Amen. Whatever God done to prepare the ground, I don't know. But he did it. And all he needed was that. Brother Branham said he knows how to get his children. And then you turned this away. What did it? I said, what changed your opinion? What come into your heart and made you one time not care for God, and something come in to make you go to loving God? Not just a form of God, but he wanted God. What changed? And look what Brother Branham calls that. And something came in to make you go to loving God. What done it? He said, well, I don't know. I said, before there could be a creation, there has to be a creator to create that creation. What did you tell him happened? Creation happened in your heart, brother. God come into your heart right when you looked at that piece of paper. Not when he went to this church service and that church service. He wouldn't even go with his wife. When you looked at that piece of paper, he said, you mean I've had it all along? See, that eagle was an eagle the whole time he was standing down there on the ground. But sometimes it takes a long time before an eagle recognizes who they are. And he jumped out of there and he began to scream and cry. And that was settled. What is it? He said, do you want to pray for me? I said, what's the use of praying for you? You don't need any prayer. The truth has made you free. Amen. He just needed the truth to set him free. Amen. So that is God brooding over his seed. I mean, that's just one way. You know, he's done it a thousand ways, but it's always the Holy Spirit brooding over the Word. Amen. You know, that was a question that's there in the Word. Where will you spend eternity? And it became a question that God made him follow after. So I appreciate the message. I tell you, you know, I can read some of them stories and let it go for a while and then come back and read them again. And, you know, I can read a book that I read 10 years ago. I can read it again. And it's nowhere near as exciting as it was the first time. But this, sometimes you can read these over and it's greater than it was the first time. Amen. And that's not just words, brother and sister. That's living God. And you know, they can make fun of him all they want to. They can make fun of the message all they want to. But I'm sold out to it. And I know you are too. And I appreciate what the Lord's done for us. So let's stand and we'll ask the musician to come around. Musicians. Just one tonight. Let me see if I can find something here. We can sing that one Brother Michael sings sometimes. Something Keeps Holding Me, page 264. The trial of this world.
within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Saved and laid before me, his temptation of his desire to steal away my faith. The revelations, the strength I need to keep me in His grace. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding.
You believe that's the truth? It does. It keeps holding us. And we'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you that you helped us, Lord, and that you fed us. And Lord, we know that that word is so much a seed, Lord, that we need to take into our heart. And Lord, let you bring it to pass. And Father, I know you work in mysterious ways. I keep thinking about that woman at the well, Lord, how you placed that little bit of word there. And then you sent Jesus by to be the manifestation of it. Lord, preparing the ground and preparing the one to come and sow. Lord, it's so incredible, Lord, to be a part of what you're doing in this hour. Lord, the world thinks everything of this world is so great and there's so much they get involved with. And Lord, one time we were the same. And Father, if there be one somewhere who would listen to your word, Lord, please direct us by there. Let us have words to say. Lord, manifest yourself before them and bring to pass another scream to another eagle. And Lord, may you bless us and keep us, bring us back together Sunday, Lord. Be with those ones that are away tonight and take care of each one, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.